That day is a testament to the strength and courage of so many.
These heinous acts of violence, they are an assault on the security and the freedom of every American citizen.
September 11th, 25 years later, still feels like yesterday. We all remember where we were, and it's a reminder of how much has changed since then.
Wow. Yes, we do. It is 8:07. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy here. A very special day, Bob, and man, 25 years. It seems like yesterday, and yet it seems like forever at the same time.
Yeah, because it is both. I mean, we have a whole generation of young people that are not even that young anymore.
Right.
That they weren't around when 9/11 occurred. So there is a little bit of a separation between our experiences on that level.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, there's so many ways in which you can show respect for what occurred. One of them is a ceremony that's going to begin here in just a few minutes at 8:30. That'll be at the Ocala Marion County Veterans Memorial Park. They do so many things related to our veterans, first responders, and of course, this is another one there at on East Fort King Street in Ocala, and they invite all residents out because it has been 25 years to
wow.
the day
yeah.
of these events that have occurred, and you know, a lot of lost lives, and this ceremony gives an opportunity for the community to pause and reflect and remember those who were lost, and also a reminder of the people who run toward buildings that are collapsing, that run toward danger.
Mm-hmm.
And we never should lose sight of all that they have given as well.
Well, you know, and that is a group. They mentioned it at the top of the hour news, and I was actually going to bring it up, so it was interesting timing. We know about the nearly 3,000 that died that day. Sometimes we forget that there have been literally about 9,000 who have died since due to cancers, lung issues. I mean, you got to remember when those towers were built. They used a lot of materials that weren't good for us that we didn't even really know at the time. And I had friends, fortunately, none of them that I know of that were firefighters. They were volunteer firemen, and they went up and worked there for a few days. But think about that. Almost three times as many people have lost their lives because of the issues of all those materials that they were breathing in. And it's just like hard to imagine. It's like it happened on that day, but it's been going on ever since.
Well, then, Afghanistan to follow. All
yes.
of the loss of life related to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, it was a huge tragedy and one that certainly didn't end on that day, to say the very least. You know, just to mention, there are a lot of things going on. Gators are playing in the Swamp on Saturday. The 49ers beat the Rams last night, 27-7. The Jags are taking on Cleveland this weekend in Jacksonville. That's at 1 o'clock game for the Bucks against Cincinnati. And the Dolphins play the Raiders at Raiders Sunday at 4:25. And then one of our hometown heroes, Ben Shelton, who played tennis for Buchholz, won a national championship at Florida, is in the U.S. Open, and it's right down to the semis now. He
wow.
takes on fellow American Francis Tiafoe. So you know, there's lots of things to look forward to throughout the weekend.
Well, and just the fact that you're talking about those kinds of things, that is America. That is our daily American way of life. That is the entertainment, the fun, the challenges, the freedom that this country was founded on, to live our lives to our fullest, to enjoy our lives to our fullest. We're not guaranteed anything by our Constitution, except our rights are backed and protected by our country, theoretically, to be able to strive for whatever we want. Again, we're not guaranteed some success. We're guaranteed the right to pursue it and to pursue our happiness, and that is our American way of life.
Well, you think about a large percentage of the world's population. Their biggest goal today will be to find fresh water,
yep.
will be to find edible food, will be to try to protect their families from all kinds of threats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that will be high on the priority list for so much of the world's population
yeah.
where we have been blessed and our founding fathers and what has followed to where we have so much extra time. We can go to these events. We can sit home and watch TV if we choose. We can travel and explore different areas, while, again, a large population of the world is just going to be happy if they can have shelter and food and clean water. It's quite a different dynamic.
We do take it for granted, and just, you know, the irony of the timing, too, because, you know, October's coming up. We always do the pumpkin patch at our church, and a lot of that is actually feeding people in Guatemala, and we always send a construction crew, if you will, as part of our team, and they build, we call it a house. It would not be a house by American standards, but compared to living on dirt with a cardboard wall, if you have that, and maybe some cloth, to know that now you're in something that has a concrete pad and that it's actually made of wood and actually has a roof, we forget how much of the world would be so happy just to have that.
Well, and just think about all the outreach that America and Americans have done directly and indirectly, mm-hmm. through our government expenditures, through charities, people directly given through churches. What a difference we have made around the world.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the kinds of stories that should be talked about and taught in schools. Once again, getting back to that idea of American exceptionalism, that needs to be, and that's one of the things that President Trump lit the fire on. That's why he, you know, won two elections. It wasn't just about closing off the borders and all that. It was about making America great again. It's not that we weren't great per se for a while. He just wants to remind people that we're great and instill in them that, hey, man, we've got our warts, we've got our flaws, we're not perfect, but really, look around the world. We are the best. If not for us, who's going to fight to keep the light of freedom, true freedom? Who's going to keep that alive if not for us?
Mm-hmm.
And while I say that, you know, at the same time, 25 years after being attacked by terrorists, here we are. I've got a story today. Apparently, Iran is back producing ballistic missiles.
Oh.
Despite all of the things that we have done, a report has just come out that they are actually still able to produce them. And that, so, you know,
it's frustrating.
President Trump promised us we're not going to have foreign entanglements. And it's not his fault. Here we are. Well, it is his fault. He made the call. He drew a line in the sand.
Sure.
He wasn't going to kick the can down the road. He said, look, these people are serious. They're crazy. They're very close to having a nuclear weapon. And we need to do something about it now before, you know, there's a mushroom cloud and, you know, radioactivity. Who knows how far it could spread?
Well, and the people that like to, like, scoff at that, I think if you would just stop and remember 9/11, all these things we've talked about, all these examples, and a lot of it rooted in the Middle East, that is the mindset we're dealing with. And if you don't believe that, if they would do it with a couple of planes back then, give some of them nuclear weaponry, what do you think they're going to do?
Yeah, I don't think it's that difficult to connect the dots.
No.
And we have a president strong enough to, you know, to take a stand.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope, and I think that a lot of these neighboring nations, you know, the Gulf states, are kind of seeing, you know, as much as we may be hated sometimes on the surface, sometimes at a deeper level, quietly, sometimes we're quietly hated by folks in that region. I think they're beginning to realize, you know, we're not really the bad guys. And in fact, they have bad guys living in their own neighborhood that seek to destroy them,
mm-hmm.
or anybody that gets in their way or doesn't do their will.
Yeah, but that is obviously a very strong point. Hey, we are coming up on 8:16, a very special day as we commemorate 9/11, 2001. It's the Bob Rose Show. I'm Greg Cassidy. Thanks for being a part of the show. 97.3, The Sky.
September 11th is a day that we all remember, even 25 years later.
We'll read all these names. We will linger over them and learn their stories.
The heroes who stepped up remind us of America's strength every single day.
May he bless the souls of the departed, and may he always guide our country. God bless America.
It is 8:21, a very special day to remember, well, 25 years ago. It is the Bob Rose Show. I'm Greg Cassidy. And Bob, I tell you, it is just amazing when we think about how much time and how much has changed. And yet we're also talking about how little has changed in some ways at the same time.
Yeah, there is one of the things I was doing was a little bit of math. So it only took me an hour to do this. So World War II ended in 1945.
Right.
Excuse me. And if we, so let's go 25 years, like they're looking at the 25th anniversary of the ending of World War II. That was 1970.
Right.
So that just, so you look at that and you say, okay, 9/11 happened 25 years ago, and here we are in the year 2026. Can you imagine how lives changed between 1945 and 1970? And here we are with kind of like another leap in time, if you will. But yet, unfortunately, we're still fighting basically the same enemy that attacked us on 9/11.
It'd be like if we were kids and World War II was still going on.
In many ways, yeah. That would be, yeah, that's the parallel that you could kind of draw from that. And, you know, in 9/11 was not World War II. The loss of life is not comparable.
Right.
But just a major tragic event felt, at least, around the world, and a sense of sacrifice by many. So it kind of echoes that to some extent in my mind. Also, you know, as we also want to be living in the present, you know, just last night, Vice President J.D. Vance, you know, given a heck of a speech, this guy is really coming into his own, and the folks were fired up at the American Airlines Center, and apparently a heckler got his attention.
Oh, no.
This bozo was waving, like, Mexican and even Palestinian flags.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, and the cameras didn't really catch the guys. You know, the guy that was doing this. Mm-hmm. But J.D. Vance told people, he said, what the people at home missed is that we just had a protester interrupting us and waving the Mexican flag. He said, well, my friend, if you love Mexico so much, get your ASS over there, and I'll buy you the plane ticket.
Wow. I love it.
And, of course, you know, the crowd went wild.
Oh,
and yeah, so, you know, look, 9/11 always should be remembered, and we should treat it as the solemn thing that it is, but we should also examine it from different perspectives and not lose sight of where we are now in the present,
right,
and nationally where we are headed as a nation.
Well, and a lot of things come to mind, because we are probably dealing more now. We talk about all the illegals. Again, it's not just Mexico. It literally is around the world. It's the Middle East. It's you name it. We need to get back to those basics. And I know maybe they've, you know, given Trump a hard time, call him a nationalist and all these kind of things, but I don't think there's anything wrong with us getting back to our basics of life in America, where if you want to live our way of life, okay, we are a free country. You can come here legally. You can adapt. You can be a part of the American way of life. That's what it was set up to do. It wasn't set up to come in, live off American taxpayers, bring in all of your own culture and try to change ours. I think we really need a reset on this. And maybe it sounds hard or cruel or harsh, but we shouldn't be where we are right now dealing with the things we're dealing right now if our politicians were strong.
Wow, you just nailed it. That's it. You know, if we had more folks in Congress like a Kat Kamik, and I'm not, you know, just, you know, blowing smoke. I mean, she gets it.
Yes.
And we need more Americans representing us, Americans, and representing us first and foremost. But embrace immigrants, but embrace the legal immigrants.
Yes.
And that's one of the things we have to clarify is, you know, those of us who support President Trump and Trump himself, we are not anti-immigration at all. We're anti-illegal immigration. We don't feel like we should feel guilty about who we let in and who we don't.
No.
I mean, that goes back to the beginning of time, and we've made reference to a Trojan horse. man, the biggest Trojan horse of all time known to humanity was the 4 years under Joe Biden, where we had open borders, not even having a clue of who was coming here. We clamped down. The government told everybody, hey, COVID, you got to get your shots. You got to get your shots or you're going to lose your job.
Right.
You got to get your shots and you can't go to church, but you can go to a liquor store. I mean, the government clamped down. But at the meantime, they were allowing millions of people to flow across their borders and they weren't forcing them to get the shot. In other words, even back then, illegals were taking precedent and first in line in front of Americans. And you could look at sanctuary cities and towns today, and it's still the same way. Why aren't our politicians representing us as Americans as first and foremost? Now, clearly some are. A lot of folks on the left are definitely not.
Yeah, it is such a different mindset, and I've got some thoughts on that that I will get into. You're listening to The Bob Rose Show. I'm Greg Cassidy. A very special day as we do commemorate 9/11, but also look at both sides of the coin. Are there things that we should be doing different? Are there things that we should do different in the future? As we analyze where we are today, I think it's time for maybe a little readjustment. You're listening to The Bob Rose Show. Thanks for being a part of it today. 97.3 The Sky.
A free American people will not be intimidated, nor will we be defeated.
We will not tire, we will not falter, and we will not fail.
We need to remember those heroes on that day, September 11th, and those that protect our freedom today.
It's 8:35 now, 25 away from 9 o'clock, a very special day, a day of remembrance. On the Bob Rose Show, I'm Greg Cassidy, and obviously, Bob, a day that we will never forget.
No, and there's an interesting statistic that roughly 83% of Americans that were born before 2001 say they remember exactly where they were and what they were doing when they learned of the attacks. But over a quarter of the U.S. population was born after 9/11. So isn't that interesting that, you know, if you were born before 2001, at least 83% have a pretty strong memory of what took place there. But now we have 25% of our population, all of our future, you know, leaders, maybe some even current, but that did not experience that and did not see any of that firsthand.
Yeah, I was talking, I mentioned it the other day, a friend of mine who's, I think he's around 32. So he was a kid, and he was actually, his dad was in the military. He was attending a school on a naval base. And on that day, you know, they cleared them out, came, because again, we didn't know what was going on. So you've got a lot of people in that 30-ish year old range who only remember it from a child's perspective and don't have the full clarity of experiencing it, only hearing about it in history.
And then you have to wonder, look, we've indicted the educational system before, and, you know, this is a great example that they didn't see it or experience it with their own eyes. So what do they rely on? In many cases, education. How did they handle 9/11 in the classroom and post 9/11 when they were dealing with students that were not familiar with it? You know, how did they deal with it? Did they say that, you know, what was it? Was it Canada that said don't refer to 9/11 as a terrorist attack?
Yeah,
that came out recently.
They told their media not to address it that way. That's Canada. Well, what else would you address that as besides a terrorist attack?
That again, it kind of boggles your mind. Whether it's some of these people thinking, oh, and by the way, we'd love to be playing bang on the drum. We'd love to have this be a regular, you know, party Friday kind of a state of mind, and we will get back into that, maybe not on the show this morning, but as a nation we'll move back into that. But we're still, you know, it's solemn. There's a respectful tone that needs to be taken, but we are also going to deal with, you know, issues as well. For instance, today, if it's treated with respect, maybe they won't have enough time to bash President Trump, and I'm talking about, of course, the media and the lefties. But Trump's resonating with this idea of a $5,000 payout.
Right.
And we talked about that because he mentioned it in his speech the other night. What was it, Wednesday night? Mm-hmm. And he mentioned that. And, of course, I knew it would draw a lot of scrutiny and lefty heads would pop. And it has. But he was being interviewed by one of the major networks. It wasn't Fox. It was one of the alphabets. And he said, he goes, I think we can get this done without Congress. Mm-hmm. But if it comes to that, I think we can get Congress on board. So I thought that was interesting on a couple of different levels. And I just love it when, the left comes out and worries about spending all this extra money. It's like, You're kidding, right?
A little hypocrisy, anyone?
And he mentioned that, the trillions of dollars that are coming investing in the United States.
Right.
And that to pay this, dividend is not going to hurt us financially.
Well, again, going back to that hypocrisy, it's like, who are the kings of handouts? Who is trying to get anybody and everybody, to vote for them, to do what they want? This government program, that government program. And what we end up with is now several generations who believed that, who still don't feel like they're appreciated at all. They were just being bought for their vote.
Instead of getting $5,000, how about just saying you don't have to pay any federal taxes this year?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That would have a stimulating effect. And guess what? Only people that are actually producing and getting and paying taxes would be the beneficiaries of that. Would that not be a good idea?
Our brains go a million different directions when we have these conversations. I know how it frustrates people who work very hard and they pay a lot of taxes. And they hope that maybe if I overpaid just a little bit, I will get some of that back. Even though it's still your money, they just borrowed it for free for the last year. The frustration, and this is not against low income, this is not against people who are in these positions, but when they see someone who didn't do all the things they did that year, worked hard the way they did that year, but because the way our tax thing is set up, our tax programs are set up, people who did not even contribute are getting lots of money back because of all the deductions here. And it's like, that doesn't really seem fair either.
Yeah, there's some automatics where, it's advantageous to some of those. And I'm with you. I want people to succeed. I want them to get ahead. And I'm not downing anybody because they're in a rough financial position. Although, if you look at it, in many cases, if not most, a lot of decisions made by that individual cause them to be in the position that they're in.
Right.
But it is interesting that the president, talked about this. I really think that is more of a strategy. Mm-hmm. A strategy that says, you want to give stuff away? I'll tell you how to give stuff away.
Uh-huh.
And just as more of a response
to
the idea of socialist, some rich people are going to pay for everything. What do you want for free? Kind of taking a page out of their playbook a little bit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how serious he is about actually following through. But from a strategy standpoint, it is interesting. And it does take a lot of the wind out of the lefties' argument that, we got to penalize the rich and everybody else can live off of that. It's ridiculous.
Well, and if nothing else, it starts a conversation like the one we're having right now.
Absolutely. We are, in a solemn way, we're looking at 9/11, 25 years to the day later. And this day remains the deadliest terror attack in modern history. You've had 2,977 people who were killed directly.
Mm-hmm.
2,606 at the World Trade Center, 246 across four hijacked planes, 125 at the Pentagon in Washington. And then when you look at the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, over 7,000 U.S. military personnel were killed, another 53,560 wounded across both of those missions. And today's anniversary comes 5 years after the Taliban, which harbored al-Qaeda, regained control of Afghanistan under Joe Biden following the withdrawal of those U.S. and NATO troops in 2021. And that could have been done in a more haphazard, wrong way. I mean, that was horrendous what happened when we left Afghanistan on so many different levels, including Bagram Air Base that we basically gave away with billions of dollars in armaments and other things. And we literally have evidence today that is exactly what the Taliban is doing. They're using all of our military stuff we left behind.
That just one more frustration, I guess, when we think about how important voting is. When you've got the wrong administration, because then I say it's the administration. It starts at the top, starts with the president, but then it's who is running the military, who is running all our federal agencies. When you get a lot of really bad decisions made in those circumstances, it lets you, just if nothing else, be reminded how important it is. Hey, we are coming up on 8:45, close to 15 away from 9 o'clock. It is a special day of remembrance, but also acknowledging the good, the bad, the ugly of, you know, how situations like this happen, how we deal with it, and how we move forward. It's all on the Bob Rose Show, 97.3 The Sky.
September 11th is forever in our memories. The heroes from that day remind us of the strength of America.
Each of us will remember what happened that day and to whom it happened. We'll remember the moment the news came. Some will carry memories of a face and a voice gone forever.
Good morning. It's 8:50 now. It's 10 away from 9 o'clock. It is the Bob Rose Show. I am Greg Cassidy. You know, Bob, we've talked about so many angles this morning, where we were when we first heard the news, the things that we thought were happening versus what was really happening. I know that for you and I both, we lived in major cities at the time. You were in Orlando. I was in St. Louis. St. Louis being also an area where there's a lot of military activity going on. McDonnell Douglas, they build things. But one of the strangest things I know, and it had to be the same for you because we both had international airports in our backyard, was once they grounded everybody, it was the strangest thing the next morning for me driving to the radio station and not seeing anything in the sky. That was a strange feeling.
Yeah, same thing in Orlando, which obviously is very heavy traveled airport. And yeah, it was the same thing. There was this quietness and this stillness, but yet you couldn't really appreciate it because also in the air, was, you know, there was a sense of kind of anxiousness. Mm-hmm. And since I was like in the backyard of, you know, Disney's and Universal's where many people travel to, the thought as soon as we started to kind of figure out what was going on was that, wow, how vulnerable are those places?
Right.
What a target they could be for terrorist activity. And of course, everybody knew somebody that, you know, you worked at the park and you knew people were there on a regular basis. And so, yeah, there was definitely a sense of concern as far as those places being targeted.
Now, aren't those, at least I thought at the time, weren't like Disney, for instance, weren't those declared no-fly zones?
Well, remember, we had a no-fly zone everywhere for a while. After that, I honestly can't recall exactly.
Okay.
What actions were taken, but that does ring a bell now that you say that.
And certainly understand. I mean, because again, when you're talking about terrorism, they don't accomplish anything unless they can shock our culture, unless they can shock our daily way of life. And obviously, we were concerned at the time about, you know, amusement parks, baseball stadiums, anything that could affect. Well, again, you stop and think about the towers themselves. That is where international business took place in America. It was those two towers.
Yeah, and you think about it, you know, what could have come after that or what we speculated might come after that, and you have to wonder what the mindset was of the terrorists, you know, behind the planning and all that. What did they think? How did they think that we were going to react? Did they think that would be utter chaos, which maybe in a lot of cultures it would have been? But as Americans, man, we turned that around.
Oh, yeah.
You saw Republicans and Democrats literally holding hands, praying together on the steps of the Capitol.
Yes.
I don't think that the terrorists expected that. You had Americans of every stripe coming together, looking out for each other.
Mm-hmm.
The sense of unity was extremely powerful. I hope we could get back to that without it having to be a traumatic event that sparks that kind of idea of unity.
Yeah, we really did look at each other differently. And there for those first few days, it was still a very protective way. I just was actually reading a post of a friend of mine. He had been flying to England, and literally they had just landed when this all happened. And so that was affecting some travel plans, getting back to America. But he was ministering at some countries over in other countries. And it was interesting, and he's a good-sized fella. And when they were boarding for their next flight, when they were able to do that there and go to whatever their next stop was, they actually, because of his size, they asked him to, as a last line of defense, sit in the row near the cockpit.
Wow.
I thought, who would have imagined that? Who would have thought about that? I remember in the mid-90s when I was traveling to Ukraine and Romania, that was the first time that I saw people in fatigues with automatic weapons, rifles, in an airport. Because we didn't have that way of life here that was normal for a lot of folks around the world.
Yeah. I was reading up on a story, and it was really Franklin Graham who was sharing this. And he calls on America to turn back to God 25 years after 9/11. We mm-hmm. still need his help today. And what really kind of it brought this whole idea and thought kind of to life, if you will, is a story of somebody who was trapped underneath all of that. Her name is Janelle Guzman McMillan. She was trapped under the rubble for 27 hours.
And
lived to talk about it. And she shared her experience. At one point, she said she could no longer endure. And she said, God, are you listening to me? Please show me a sign. Then something happened she can still not explain. Someone grabbed me by my hand. He told me that his name is Paul. He said that Paul held her hand and reassured her. So 27 hours beneath the World Trade Center, and she said, Paul says, you're going to be fine. Help is on the way. I'm not going to let you go. Well, guess what? There was nobody named Paul that was there.
Wow.
And she soon did, right after that, receive help. And she said, I believe Paul was an angel looking out for me. I was not hallucinating. I was not dreaming. I knew the conversation that I had. Something happened under that rubble, she added. I found Jesus that day. And, you know, that's one of, there are so many stories related to this. And I don't know if it's, you know, a silver lining type thing, but what an experience to go through, and sharing that with other people, how she may have changed a lot of lives.
Well, and we hear so many stories about, you know, last-minute decisions of why someone did or did not get on a plane because of something that happened, or they didn't go to work that day. And you realize how all their lives would have been totally different had that one decision in their life been made differently. We are coming up on 8:57. It is a very special day of remembrance of 9/11. I'm Greg Cassidy. It is the Bob Rowe Show, and we thank you for being a part of it today, and we thank you for remembering. Thanks for being a part of it. 97.3, The Sky.